Heavenly Father, God, we come to you humbly today, Lord, just thanking you for your grace, your mercy, and your love, Lord, that grace and mercy and love that allowed us to be here today, Lord, through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, we all have forgiveness of our sins through him. God, we just thank you for this opportunity we have to meet together, Lord, as your children, Lord, to learn more about you, Lord, to fellowship and praise your name. God, help us to not take these times for granted. God, we also want to thank you for the decision by Rebecca to put on your Son, Jesus Christ, and in baptism. God, is the greatest decision that anyone on this earth can make. And God, and I thank you that she's able to do that. Lord, I pray for blessings on her, Lord, and her protection, as well as her family that's coming down to witness this baptism. Lord, I just pray that you grant them safe passage. For all those who are on their way, God, I pray for safe passage for them. For those who can't make it tonight, Lord, I pray that you would continue to guide and protect them. Lord, bless them, and I pray that you be with them in anything that they may be going through. God, we want to lift up to you, Brother Rob, in the loss of his mother, God. Lord, it's a tough time for him and the family. God, we know that you are here with us through it all. Father, help him to and his family to lean on you during this time, Lord. Lord, just continue to bless them and comfort them. Help them to know that you will never leave or forsake them. God, I pray over Darren and Donnie as they bring your word to us tonight, Lord. Lord, just free our minds of all worries, of all things that may distract us tonight, Lord. Help us to stay focused on your word. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds, Lord, to receive that word. Lord, I just pray that we can impart it to our lives, Lord, and live it out each and every day. Lord, I just pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cato. We love you, Bobby. If I told you this summer, I don't know how many of you guys have made your summer plans yet, but if I told you this summer, and this may happen, we're not for sure that it's going to happen, but this summer you have the chance to pay $1,300 to do work for 9 straight days, for 10 hours a day, in unseemly conditions, hot. You'll ride a school bus to the job site. You'll work all day, either in construction or a medical clinic. And then you are exhausted. We have a devotional and a meal. And then we get ready for the next day of hot, heavy, hard work. Does that sound like fun for $1,300 that you have to pay? Well, if you understand the context of what I'm talking about, in the context of a mission trip, absolutely. That changes everything. You told me just straight up, you get to work and you get to pay for it? No thanks. But if I'm told it's a mission trip, in all of our minds, especially those of a Christian mind set, then it makes sense. Then yes, I want to work for those that need help in a third world country. Yes, I want to go to Honduras to make people's lives better. That makes a huge difference. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 21 tonight. I'm going to spend about 20 minutes looking at verses 1 through 13, and then Darren's going to spend about 20 minutes looking at verses 14 through 21. And Paul starts off by saying, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Jesus Christ on behalf of you Gentiles." And the reason I use the Honduras story is because I think of it in terms of we are, when we're there, technically a prisoner on behalf of the Hondurans, and I would not want to be any place else when I'm on that mission trip, because I understand the magnitude of what that means to help people physically in order for us to also meet their needs spiritually. And sometimes we see the fruit of our labor in great ways while we're there, Darren, and Steve, and so many of you others that have been. Actually, look around the room, not very many of you have been, because we haven't done a mission trip in nearly 2 years, but we're looking forward to getting back on the mission field with a lot of you new students that are here with us now. But we get to do the same thing Paul speaks about on behalf of others. Also, I thought this was really interesting. This is a couple of years ago. I think this was one of my last trips to Honduras because I had a baby in 18. Well, my wife had a baby in 18. And then in 19, my mom wasn't doing very well. But I haven't, and then in 20, we didn't have a trip. nor 21, but I think this is 2017, and this was, and in 2016 we went, and I noticed a child that was wearing a shirt, and it's like one of the only shirts he owned, and it was an FSU shirt, and it was torn. And I looked at that, and I said, we got to do better for this kid. We absolutely have to do better. So I talked to the Gator Sports Shop, and they gave us a ton of shirts, and we were able to give the shirts out to the kids and give them multiple shirts if they wanted them and also teach them the Gator Chomp. We did great for those kids. So it was fun. Verse 2, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written. You know, to be an ambassador of God's grace, we understand God's grace, or at least we have a grasp on God's grace, but God's grace surprises us. God's grace fills us. God's love, his unconditional love for each and every one of us is incredible. And when we think of God's love and his grace for us, have you ever thought about yourself being a steward, like Paul, of God's grace? That we get to be a steward. We get to take that grace, and now we get to give it away to others. There's nothing more exciting than to take that grace and to share God's grace with the people around us. And this is something you guys got to do last week. Some of y'all were not in here. Y'all were, and I didn't find that out till after class, because we definitely wanted to help. Some of you guys were packing up supplies in the other building to send to Louisiana. And just because it's out of the news, it still was just under a month ago that they were struck. And I'm pretty sure parts of Louisiana aren't supposed to have rivers that are covering bridges and that are covering trees and buildings. That's not what it's supposed to look like. And so there's a lot of people that are still hurting. And those supplies were given out to people this past week, along with tons of other supplies that were donated from other congregations around the country. And it's so awesome to see the stewardship of God's grace. And just in one example like that, of packing supplies, sending supplies, and watching those supplies get to people who need it. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, and moving to verse 3, which I just read, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. For Saul, who was persecuting Christians, Jesus comes down in a bright light and speaks in an audible voice from the heavens and says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And then he gave Saul an opportunity to change his life. He gave him instructions that were physical and how to get his actual sight back after he was blinded in 3 days' time, and also how to get right spiritually. And Saul became Paul, and the rest is history. A guy that was persecuting Christians, that was killing Christians, became one of the greatest writers in history in God's inspired word, in sharing that word, in sharing that message with others, and writing to the church in Ephesus here. When you read this, it says in verse 4, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. How many ministers do we have in here? Well, I can raise my hand. Mark can raise his hand. And I know our elders can raise their hand. And our deacon with a campus ministry can raise his hand. We have several people that identify as ministers. Skip in his role with the church could also say the same thing. But if you look at what the Greek term means here, it also means servant. In other translations, it says servant. It's being an ambassador. How many of you would consider yourselves a servant of Jesus Christ and his work? Raise your hands. Okay, so now that's everybody. So guess what? How many ministers do we have in here now? It's all of us. That's all of us. It takes a village. It takes all of us to spread God's love to the rest of the world. That is everyone in here. So that through, I'm going to Verse 8, to me, though I am the very least of all of these saints, the grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Unsearchable riches of Christ that are being revealed to not only the Jews, but to the Gentiles, as Mark talked about last week. You know what's really cool about this? Let me make an analogy. Tomorrow, how many of you guys go to work tomorrow or go to school? Okay, right, most everybody. Let's just say in the middle of your work day and school day, I said, you know what, we're going to have an event here. We're going to have a fellowship event right here in the middle of your work and school day. How many of you guys will come? A bunch of y'all will be like, I'm not, sorry, Don, I can't sign up for that. You know, I'll see you on the weekend. We'll do the wheelchair ramp project together or some other event upcoming. But yeah, tomorrow, middle of the day, can't do it. Now, if I said I've got a friend in my Rotary Club that's a big business owner, and he's going to be there tomorrow, and for everybody that shows up, he's going to give you $1,000, no questions asked. I bet you find a way to skip your class tomorrow. I bet you find a way to skip work tomorrow. Well, maybe some of you would. But if that is the deal, that's different. We'll do something. We'll change. We'll rearrange our schedule for an instant $1,000 payout, more than likely. When it comes to the unsearchable riches in Christ, we have something way better than $1,000 or any amount of money. We have richness in Christ together. Amen, church? We are rich beyond measure. And that's why I feel like so many of you, you know, there's so many other things you could be doing midweek, but you're here because you're looking at those riches in Christ. And you want those riches in Christ to be manifest in your life. You want to be all about that richness that we find in Christ. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. When we were at the retreat, and this is something that's been very cool the last three or four retreats actually, but even on this retreat especially, I had at least three or four different people come up to me and that worked at the hotel, and one was a manager there, and said, your group is amazing. Your group, phenomenal. Your group, they invited me to church, you know, like when I was thinking about going in the back and taking a smoke and just have it after having a 10-hour day here at the hotel. Somebody in your group made me feel better. I want your group back here next year. That is sharing God's love with others. That is being salt and light. You know, not just keeping it to ourselves in a retreat format, but actually taking it to the rest of the world. Don't just invite people to church. Invite them to lunch. Invite them to your table or patio. Invite them into your life. Be there for them. We are not a building. We meet in a building, but we are the church. I'm going to have, let's see, who did I ask? Kennedy, would you please read this for us? This is 1 Peter 1 and verse 12. Things that angels long to look. I feel like this is what Ephesians 3:10 is alluding to. We have that. Man, dust off that Bible. Take that phone out and use that Bible app. Do what you need to do to get into God's word and to look into the things that the angels long for. That we have Christ, that we get to celebrate Christ in our lives, and that we get to share Christ with others. Last week, we had Trey Freeman come up and share his boldness in Christ. We had Timmy get baptized because he wanted to be 100% sure that and have no doubt about his salvation in getting rebaptized. Verses 11 here, this was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. And Caitlin, if you'll come on up. I asked Caitlin tonight to talk about the confidence she has since she decided to give her life to Christ in baptism at the beginning of the summer. In verse 11 and 12, it says here, this was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence again through our faith in him, with highlight on that boldness and that confidence. Caitlin, if you want to come on up and share that boldness and confidence you have.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Caitlin. So I had to write it down because I tend to lose my train of thought or just ramble, so bear with me as I read this. Okay, so I said, hi, I'm Caitlin. For those of you that don't know, I was raised in a Baptist church and was recently baptized into Christ back in June. So when Donnie asked me to share the boldness and freedom I have after being baptized, I was a little worried about what I would say, so I thought back to the day I was baptized. The moments leading up to my baptism, I was speaking with the youth minister back at my home congregation, explaining how for the last year while I was studying for the truth, I had felt such a spiritual disconnect and had felt so discouraged and not at peace in my faith, as I couldn't understand why such a necessary aspect of faith was so controversial. Sorry, I'm nervous. In reality, I had been denying the truth for quite some time due to my own selfishness and fear. I remember telling him right after I was baptized that the biggest wave of peace and relief came over me. I was no longer worrying about the future or doubting the existence of my faith because I knew I had now followed out and done everything God had asked of me. Sorry. I have been, after being baptized, the peace I received from God empowered me to be bold in the conversations of my faith with my friends and family that I grew up going to church with, and had, in reality, just recently, months before, had conversations with them speaking about how baptism was not necessary for salvation. So the conversations were difficult and definitely trying at times, but through Christ, I had peace knowing that my salvation was secure and now had the freedom to no longer worry.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thanks, Caitlin. Let's have a hand for Caitlin. Thank you for that. Just one more verse, and Darren, you can come on up, and I'll flip it over to Darren. In verse 13, so I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. You think about Paul, and you think about how many opportunities he had to lose heart, being shipwrecked, being beaten, being put in prison, and through it all, he's like, you know what? Nope, I'm focused on God, I'm focused on Christ, I'm focused on his love, I'm focused on how he saved me, and I'm going to do that for other people. All right, Darren, it's all yours.
Hello. Okay, yeah, it's on. Hey, guys. I do need, as we're getting ready to make a little bit of a transition here, I need someone to read. I'm going to start calling names. Thank you, Allie. All right, you're going to be doing the next half for me in here, just in my Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And then somebody within arm reach of Allie, I'm going to need you to read, Dylan, 2 Corinthians 13 something. 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 14. While they're getting there, and is our clicky not working? Hey, that's me. All right. And so while we're doing that, I do want to take a few moments again, and specifically time to address a little bit to some of our visitors, because we do have some visitors that are here with us tonight. And guys, please do us a favor and stick around a little bit and let us have an opportunity to get to know you a little bit better. This may be the first time some of you have ever heard a message from God's Word. You may be have grown up in the church, and you were just kind of looking around trying to find a church home. You may have had someone grab you by the hand and drag you here tonight because you didn't want to be here by yourself. For whatever reason that you are here, you're here. You're here for a reason. We would like to have an opportunity to be able to get to know you a little bit better. But I also have one more ask for you. Give us a month. You can go out with somebody on one date and determine whether or not that person is going to be the one you want to be with the rest of your life. Kind of the same thing. You can't visit a group of people. You can't go and visit a congregation without spending a few times with them to figure out whether or not you enjoy being around those people. That's someone that you want to be able to worship God with. And so I ask you, give us a month. And then after the end of that month, my hope and my prayer, guys, is that you want to have a relationship with God. Because that's what Donnie and I are here, and Mark and the other ones that get up and teach. We're wanting you to have a relationship with Jesus. We are not here to bring you to University City. I am not up here teaching you, trying to make you a card-carrying member of Gators for Christ. But we do have cards. I'm not trying to make you a card-carrying member for GFC. I'm bringing you to Jesus. I want you to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And if you want to have that personal relationship with Jesus, but unfortunately you say, Darren, y'all are just weird. That's absolutely fine. We will work with you and maybe find a group that you can worship with that may be a better fit for you. But I promise you, give us a month. Because, guys, it is my prayer, it is my hope that you are able to have that relationship with God. And speaking of prayer and hope, that's kind of where I want us to go ahead and get started in tonight. Allie.
Yes, sir.
Are we on?
Yes.
Go.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever, ever. Amen.
All right. I want to go ahead and jump right into it. And we're going to have a handful of points that I want us to talk about a little bit tonight. The very first one is the idea of starting this whole little passage that we started right here was the phrase, for this reason. And typically, whenever you see something like this, you've got to look in there and say, okay, for what reason? And if you look back a little bit, back to what Donnie started with, this whole idea, this whole thought that Paul is presenting to us right now in the book, this started with, for this reason. And Paul gave the idea that, you know, for the last, you know, when Paul started writing this letter to the people in Ephesus, he was dealing with some very specific issues. But to try to put the last two chapters into a nutshell, what is Paul dealing with the people in Ephesus? He's did what? We're dealing with disunity. Paul was coming here specifically, and he talks about what Donnie was talking about is he is revealing a mystery. What mystery was that? I'm going to pick on this side of the room because y'all have to deal with me a lot. What mystery was Paul trying to reveal? Come on, old people. Ramon. Paul was specifically letting the people, was getting ready to reveal for this reason. He had revealed that the gospel, Christ is not sacrificed. He did die on the cross specifically for the Jews. And Paul was letting the people know that he had died for us all. And this was a brand new concept. And then also in the second half, after for this reason, he was also talking about the fact that I fall on my knees. He talks about the fact that I fall on my knees as he's getting ready to pray. And this, guys, to me shows a symbol of ultimate humility and passion that Paul has got right now. And actually, if you look back and go back through Scripture, this is the only example in the entire New Testament, Matthew to Revelation, that you're going to find where someone falls on his knees in prayer. There will be people that fall on their knees begging for their life. There will be people that fall down on their knees. But this is the first and only example that you're going to find in the entire New Testament where someone is on their knees in prayer. And with that, to me, this is a sign for Paul that he is, first of all, he's being so humble that he's falling on his knees and that he is praying, because this is something he needs the people in Ephesus to realize. And with that, he gets in there and he starts his prayer. And that first thing that he talks about is he prays that God strengthens their inner being. He strengthens their inner being. What do you think it means to strengthen your inner being? Go. I'm going to start bringing like coffee shots in here or something. Oh, David, sorry. All right, to strengthen the soul. But he could have just said, I'm going to pray for strength. He could have just said, I want to pray for strength. But he said, I'm going to pray for your inner being. Now, I'm sorry, I'm trying to look at that. And when he's talking about the inner being, but he looks in there and he says specifically that that he wants Christ to dwell in their hearts. He's looking for Christ. He's praying for strength in their inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And y'all gotten used to it by now. I've got to make some reference to Greek. The word that's being used for dwell, mine are over here somewhere. You're good. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll quit trying to struggle to read my notes. All right, the Greek words there that are dwell, there were two words that could have been used. I'm not going to take the time to give you the translations. But there were two words that could have been used for Greek and the word to dwell. How many people here are either in a dorm? Where's your sister? Anybody here in the dorm? All right, who is here that has just moved to Florida within like the last month? Okay, Libby, Danny, y'all are up. Have y'all unpacked yet? You've completely unpacked. You think so? All right. Now, but when you're getting ready to dwell, this is where you're going to be, right? You're not going to pack up. You're not going to move again. You're where you're going to be. Forever. Okay. What about you? Have you unpacked? Okay. All right, that was more of the answer that I was expecting. I know when I moved in, like, bless her heart, Elena, my daughter, her freshman year of college, when she got in her dorm room, she was, like, still living out of the suitcase and the big storage containers that we had. She was out of that for, like, the first 2 months. She never really did a whole lot to make the space her own. But that's where she was dwelling at the time. So that is definitely not the word for dwell that is mentioned here. But the idea for dwell at that point in time is that this is going to be a permanent residence. That Christ is going to dwell permanently inside your heart. So when we're looking at praying for our inner being, we are praying that not only that we have the strength and that we have the change, but we're also praying for our inner beings that we allow Jesus to dwell completely, permanently in our hearts. And that is the prayer that Paul is offering up to the people in Ephesus right now, that you are changed completely and permanently by Jesus being able to dwell inside your hearts. Last. Okay. The next thing that came up in there is pray that you understand the dimensions of God's love. That was in verses 17 through 19. Allie, read that for me again.
You said 17 through
19? Yes, ma'am.
So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
All right. How many people have seen, I can go through all the different hyperbole that a lot of you may have heard talking about how much Jesus loves us. But I can tell Josh. Josh, I love you, man. I can tell Josh that I love him. You're okay. Yeah. And that's going to be pretty much the response I would anticipate. And it's Ethan, right? All right. So I can tell Ethan that, Ethan, I love you. Does that mean squat to you? I'm hoping the answer's no, dude. All right. You know, I can walk up to random people and just tell them, dude, I love you. And that doesn't mean anything. And why is that? David. Do what? Too commonplace. It has to be backed by action. Absolutely. And I love that. Because my love for Ethan, my love for Josh, and the rest of you guys doesn't mean anything unless you see it in action. And that's what Paul was trying to get the people in Ephesus to understand when he gave these four different dimensions. The height, the width, the depth. He wanted them to understand fully the love that Christ had for them. Has anybody here ever seen Zombie House? Zombie House Renovators? Not Zombie House Renovators. Zombie House Flippers. Has anybody ever seen that? Okay, it is a how I'm kind of addicted to it, but it's this TV show where people are looking for like these houses that are in good neighborhoods. They're looking for an investment, something that they can come in there and flip pretty quick. But they're... I mean, some of the things they end up getting themselves involved in. They'll come in there, they'll open up, they'll find a bathroom, and like hobos have been using this bathroom to party in for like the last 6 months because people have been breaking into the house. They have one where there was graffiti all over the walls, and they got in there and they had to gut it, and there's just all these different things, and they would find rot and mold and all the different things that if it was my house, I'm cleaning that out completely. Here's the love that God, that Christ has for us. Because Jesus knows, God knows all of the junk that's in here. He knows the things that I've done in my past. He knows the things that I'm going to do in my future if I don't change certain habits. God knows. He knows everything that there is about you. He knows the secrets that you've got that you can't even bring yourself to look yourself in the eye because it hurts you that much to acknowledge that part about yourself. You know, just like these zombie houses that on the outside, hey man, that looks good, and they open the door and it's full of dead rats. That is what Christ is choosing to dwell in. That is what Jesus is getting ready to dwell in and to take up, as I was talking about a moment ago, that permanent residence. He's not going to be there temporarily. He's not here for school and getting ready to move a little bit later. He is going to set up a permanent residence inside your hearts, inside that inner being. And he's doing it even though he knows everything about you. He is opening up, and that is the depth of the love that Jesus has for us. That he died on the cross knowing good and well that there are men. He was dying for people that had spit on him, that had yelled at him, that had beat him, that had given every type of emotional and physical trauma that they could to him. And Jesus died on the cross simply saying, forgive them, Lord, they don't know what they're doing. And that's the inner being. That is the depth. That is the strength of the love that Jesus is taking and taking up that permanent dwelling inside of you. There's something else that's right there. I believe it's in verse 18. Do 18 for me, Allie.
May have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that part yet. All right. Before we get there, there is something I was also reading earlier because I get a passage. I've talked about the Bible Gateway app a lot because I really like the Bible Gateway app, but I have my daily passage. My daily passage the other day came from 2 Corinthians 13. And in a second, I'm going to have Dylan read for me 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11 through 14. That's where we're coming from. But before I have him read that, I need y'all to kind of understand what Paul has been doing with the people in Corinth. I know that we have talked about some of the things going on in our society, and there are some things going on that just kind of make us cringe. There is sin that is running rampant. And that's really what we've got to call it. We've got to quit calling it people's other choices or people's other truths. They're dealing with sin. They can call it, this is my truth, all that they want to, but if they're doing something that's against God's word, guys, it's a sin, plain and simple. We can't call it something else. And that's what's going on in Corinth. Paul spends two different letters absolutely blistering the people in Corinth. I mean, he has been lighting them up in the first letter and the second letter because of all the things that are rampant going on in Corinth. I don't want to beat the point to death, but there was a phrase at that point in time that meant to Corinthianize. Kind of the same thing as what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That was Corinth. I mean, if someone was going to go live a sinful life, they would say, well, I'm going to Corinthianize. That was the saying back then. That's how bad and how well known the people in Corinth were for their sinful nature. One side point, and that's where Paul goes as a missionary. A horrible place where sin is running rampant. That's where Paul goes. And he is lighting up the people that are there in Corinth. And then finally, he gets through lighting them up, and he finishes with this. He finishes the second letter with this phrase.
Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And the reason I wanted to pull up this passage is that right there really summarizes a lot of what this prayer is that we're talking about. Where it's talking about specifically that the love of God and the peace of Christ and the Spirit all dwell within you. It's exactly what Paul is telling the people here in Ephesus. That, guys, I need you to understand the love of God. And he's praying for the Spirit and praying for Christ to dwell in them. And so I really enjoy just finding that passage. But anyway, something else I wanted is, now then, do verse 18.
May have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ.
All right. Do I have any English majors in here? Really? I didn't know that. And you're, okay. Okay, we got more English majors. Okay, so who wants to give me the definition of a prepositional phrase? Libby? No? Virginia? All right. Teachers? Prepositional phrase. I am looking straight at you, Jen. And they wonder why the arts are dying. All right, a prepositional phrase. A prepositional phrase is a phrase that starts with a preposition. Thank you very much. But a prepositional phrase, what it is used for, is that the sentence by itself is complete. The sentence by itself is absolutely fine, but when you put that prepositional phrase in there, it modifies the sentence. So, what's the prepositional phrase? Allie, read it without that. Read that verse without that.
May have power together with all the Lord's holy people.
Well, you just read it with it. Verse 18, without all the saints or without all the people. Yeah, that one.
May have power together with to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ.
Okay. So the sentence, Paul's instructions to the people in Ephesus make sense still without the phrase all the people or all the saints, right? But he's, do what?
With all the saints, not with. With is the preposition.
Right.
You have to remove with to all.
Right. That was the point I'm hoping I was making, but if I wasn't clear, you have to remove with all the saints.
Correct.
Thank you. All right. Now then. Why do you think Paul gave the instruction? Because again, the sentence made sense without with all the saints. Why stick that in there? David. Okay. For teaching, not what I'm going for, but yes. Ghetto. To continue the idea of unity. Okay. Not specifically what I was going for, but getting close to it. The idea of understanding God's love with all the saints. I need you all to understand that your walk with Christ was never intended to be alone. Our walks with God, our growth with Him was never intended to be done by ourselves. And what Paul was telling the people in Ephesus, and again, they're talking specifically about racism. You've got Jews versus Gentiles. Well, there's literally a wall, and they can't cross the wall. And Mark talked to us last week about the fact that he was there to get rid of this wall. And what Paul is telling them is that it was intended for us to understand God's love and the depth with all the saints, so that we are understanding this together. I need you guys to understand that our walk with God is here. And that is the reason I started class talking about the fact that if you are a visitor or you've only been with us a few times, stick around and get to know us. Because it was never intended for you to learn and grow in Christ by yourself. But it's with that community of saints, it's to be able to have fellowship with other believers that allows us to be able to grow. Because I can guarantee he and I are not dealing with the exact same problems right now. And there are going to be ways that he can lift me up where I can't lift myself up. And there are going to be ways I can lift him up and I can't lift myself up. And that was the point of Paul's prayer with the people in Ephesus. And then it finishes out with us. Allie, the last two verses, please.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
And I've kind of run out of time, and I apologize, but I want to make sure I make this last point. Romans 8:28 talks about a prayer and the Spirit being able to interpret that prayer for us, so that we may not know how we need to pray. So I'm beating that to death. Somebody read for me Romans 8:28. Are you up there, Libby? Thank you. Back up too. The Spirit intercedes for us with wordless groanings because God is able. There may be things that we're trying to pray for and we don't realize specifically what we're asking God to do. There may be things that we are asking for our spiritual lives and not realizing that what we're asking for is the exact same thing that the devil wants and that God is trying to prevent. So there may be a way, and there are ways where God interprets our prayers for us and he grants things for us that we're not even thinking about, because God is able to do that for us. He is willing to do that for us, and he's going to do that for us. And Paul's prayer to the people in Ephesus for these last few verses is that he is doing his best to lift them up and say, guys, I need you to understand God's ability to work in you, to change you, and the love that I have for you. And please know that I'm going to do everything that I can to protect you. I know you're praying this way. That may not be exactly what you want, but I am able. I know what you need. And Paul is finishing up this beautiful thought, talking about the unity with the people in Ephesus, by simply saying, God is able through all and in all. Guys, I appreciate everybody's attention tonight. Donna, do we have anything?
No, I was going to say, if you see a few faces in here, see them just like,
All right, thank you, guys. A couple of other things before I close us out. We do have some T-shirts, and over here on the table, if you have not gotten your GFC T-shirt, well, go get one. And then there's also some leftover medallions from our first semi-formal the other night that went absolutely fabulously. We did a great job, but we've got some pendants left over there. If you did not get one the other night, please be sure to go ahead and get one of those off the wall as well. Guys, if you would, please join me in prayer. Gracious and Holy Father, we are so honored to be able to gather together again with the saints that are here in this room to be able to study your word, to be able to have the fellowship that we have with each other, Lord, and I ask you to please help us not to take that for granted. Father, we need to, and we forget it so often, the love that you have for us. And Father, please help us to keep that ever, ever on the forefronts of our minds. To be able to set an example to others where they can see the fact that Christ is in our inner being. That he has taken up that permanent residence and he's changing us so much. And that we're able to grow and be better for him, Lord. Father, please help us to do our best for you, to praise you, to honor you. And it's Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.